All right, we are in lesson five. JD got through kind of the first and a little bit in the second, I think. But I kind of want to go through, and it's going to be quick, I hope. But I thought it was important. Well, let me go first and go through the verses that we're going to go through today. Basically, chapter one of 1 Timothy, verses 9 through 11. But I'll read for context, starting in verse 8. So this is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. But we know that the law is good, if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers and immoral men, and homosexuals, and kidnappers, and liars, and perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. So again, we kind of went through that, but I really want to go through actually some of the words, because I some of these when I wonder, it says, different things, a lawless. What does that really mean? Or these ungodly. And a lot of times I just went back to the Greek word and what it meant, which gives us a lot more insight in a lot of these words a lot of times. So I'll try and quickly go through them. It's a long list, a laundry list of a lot of different things, but I just want to go through because I think it emphasizes when we say lawless, okay, somebody who just, went 75 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. Lawless. It's not just that. It is a lot stronger than that. So, the lawless, and I'll butcher all the Greek names, but anonymous. Lawless in the sense of transgressing the law, a transgressor, wicked, Strong's, positively wicked. So when you say lawless, it's a lot more than that. Someone who's positively wicked, rebellious, and I'm going to leave the Greek out there, Greek words for it, but disobedient to authority, disorderly. So somebody who's rebellious is disobedient to authority or disorderly. The ungodly. Basically, it means godless, without fear or reverence of God. It does not mean irreligious, but one who actively practices the opposite of what the fear of God demands, one characterized by immoral or impious behavior. So I think it just adds to what ungodly means. This isn't somebody who's just doesn't go to church on Sunday. This is somebody who is actively going against God, an ungodly person. Sinners, and again, transgressor, impious person, points to those who have disregarded the will of God. I like it kind of adds a little more emphasis than just kind of basic sinner. Those who have disregarded the will of God. Unholy, is unholy, ungodly, no regard of duty to God or man. But that kind of added a little bit to that. No regard of duty to God or man. The profane, we'll get that into the next question, what that means. So we'll go on. Those who kill their mothers and fathers. And they're really actually, I thought that was kind of, is that directly in the Greek? And it really was. There are two words, patrolos and matrolos, which one who murders a father and one who murders his mother. And then the other word in there is can be a manslayer. So it really is people who kill their mothers and fathers. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I don't know how much that is, but those who kill their mothers and fathers. Remember, this is who the law is for. Immoral men. Guess what the word for that is? Pornos. Where do you think we get our word pornography? So a fornicator, a whoremonger. So an immoral man is a fornicator, somebody who goes out, or a adulterer type, whoremonger, those who prostitutes. And that also, I was always wondering about this because we hear it today as homosexual. Is there really the word in the Bible that is homosexual? And there is. It's actually arsenokoitēs, a man who lies in bed with another male, a homosexual. So that's who he's actually talking about here. These are, again, who will go against sound doctrine. Kidnappers. We'll get more into this also in I think question 4 or 5. And a man stealer, a kidnapper, one who steals men to make them slaves or sell them into slavery. I think that's question 5. We'll get into that. Liars, a liar, one false towards God, a wicked person. So when you say a liar, it's just, yeah, somebody told a little white lie. Now, this is one false towards God, a wicked person. And then perjurers, to swear falsely, one who speaks lies. So somebody, again, these are all the ones when we get back in, if you go back up to the verses, realizing the fact the law is not made for a righteous person, but for, it's for all of these people that we just went through, all of these different people, that's who it's for. So, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. So I guess out of this, I ask a question. What is at the center of all of these people or acts? What is the center of all of that?
Sin nature.
Sin nature, a little more specific than that, I think. What is that kind of center thing? I'm searching for a word. Center is sin is true. That's what ultimately drives it all. But there's you have two focuses in your life. One is God and the Lord. What is the other?
You think it's self?
Self. Think about all of these things. They're all selfish desires. They're all about focusing and getting desires. You lie because you want something. You sexual things, immoral, homosexual. It's all to satisfy a selfish desire. You know, liars, you lie to get something. Perjure, you perjure yourself to avoid a penalty or to you know, get something on somebody else. All of these center around self, which, Mike, I agree. It's all through the sin nature. But as I went through this list and I went through everything, it was all self-driven. All of these don't anywhere focus on God or Christ as the center. None of them do. And so it's all selfish based. So, and they by the verses, what do these all go against? It says in here, but it's not God, but what is it that it goes against? If you look at the verses.
Sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine. So all of this goes against sound doctrine. We'll get into that in question 5 about what sound doctrine is. But again, when you look at all these, it's selfish desires, and that's what the laws are to address and to point out, I think. It's to highlight or point out to somebody that it's selfish, that all these things are self-driven, that they're not of sound doctrine, which is of the Lord. So,
you know, so the question,
yeah,
that murders of mothers and fathers. I'd read that before and kind of thought, well, we don't have that going on. I thought, wait a second. Yes, we do. I mean, I don't know exactly what it's like from state to state there, but Canada, in the last few years has made, they call it medical assistance in dying.
Yes.
And people are murdering their mothers and fathers because, you know, they've convinced themselves that, oh, you know, granddad's life isn't worth living anymore. He's in such a terrible state. We're going to relieve him of his suffering. And really, they're relieving themselves of the burden. Well, it's a very hate, you know, and self-centered thing.
So. Yeah, selfish. And you're right. I thought about, when you think about it, it's like, I think Oregon, Washington, and Colorado may be close. I don't know if we have it or not. But I know, I think Oregon, Washington have that very thing, the assisted suicide, basically, the euthanasia. But yeah, it's really, and it's selfish. It's either that I don't feel like my life is worth it, so I'm going to have somebody take me away, or yeah, grandpa's really a burden on us right now, and his quality of life isn't good, so I'm going to take care of that problem. And again, it's all self-focused. I think, you know, selfish in that if you're the one asking for it, I guess, you're saying you're not happy enough in life, so I want to end it. It's almost a selfish desire in that. But then usually if you're, you know, doing it for grandpa or grandma, I got to watch out. I'm a grandpa. Nick's in the back. Nick, don't think about these things. Apparently. Yeah, he'll be coming out with a smile on his face. So yeah, no, it's it is. Well, you know, the other thing I thought about too, and it's I kind of tried to see if that was what it was, but I don't think it was a thing at the time that Paul addressed this. But abortion, you know, that is that almost in the same vein, you know, maybe in projection of killing a male or female baby, you're killing a mother, a potential mother or father. But I thought more of that, that, you know, we kill hundreds and thousands of babies every year. And, you know, is that the same thing or in the same vein as killing mothers or fathers? So, yeah.
What's interesting when you brought up the idea that all of these definitive sins are the source of self and self-desire.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting when we were working on the Romans 7 verses, especially 7, where the Lord, where the word says, what shall we say? Is the law sin? And it goes on, and it says, he says, I would not have known
covenant.
We hide under that word covenant. What it really is desire.
Selfish. Self.
In that sin nature, like Mike says, is desire to do all of these things.
Yeah.
So I may not be
right.
I may not be killing my mother and father, but I can find a couple others in here that I'm really interested in.
Yeah. Well, or lying.
And there's so what God says, I'm not forbidding the sins necessarily. I'm forbidding the desire to do them.
Yeah. Right.
Because the sin nature, that's all it does do is desire.
Well, and again, desire, why? What is it? What is desire? Desire is selfish. I want. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all of those. When you say desire, it's not about somebody else's. It's you. And I guess in some, you can be desire of the Lord. But 99% of the desire is self-focused.
My point about that is that if I put my focus on the individual sins and I try to deal with them from a law base,
yeah.
If I focus on the fact that God says, I don't want you to, you know, tell us the sin nature, you can't desire, then I have to put myself under grace because I can't stop the flow of desire coming to me. I can do something about it under grace as it goes out from it.
Well, and the other, which it's kind of, and I should have researched this more, you know, it's in Romans about how the law is actually, it incites sinning. And I should looked it up, but it's like, okay.
It's the very next verse.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Opportunity through the commandment produced in me all desiring of every kind.
Yes. So, sorry, I in the back of my mind as I was going through that, Paul is now saying the law is for these people. Is that to enrage them into doing these things?
Yeah.
And it is. And it's kind of a weird thing, but it's to ultimately say that, you know, you need somebody, something to get out of this. And that's where I think, you know, it's the desire. It inflames it to know that I wouldn't have known coveting had I not had the law. And that's really what he's saying, is that these laws will point out that you are a liar. You are, oh, you know, that's contrary to the sound doctrine or contrary to God.
You know, I think a lot of self-righteous non-believers have their own personal code of ethics, and they say, well, I wouldn't do these five things, but I would do those.
Yeah. Well, when it's all,
I feel justified in doing.
Well, in what you said is, I think also, it's all, what's the word? It's moral relevancy. You know, I can justify, you know, doing these five, but ooh, I would never do this. That's because I'm the one making the rules, and I'm the one selfishly saying that's bad. This is good. I can do this because that's really not that bad. So again, it gets away from the moral absolutes of God's law and God's sound doctrine.
That's where the Holy Spirit comes in.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the world.
Well, that's to convince and convict us of those things. And that's where I said the law is to enrage that to know that, wow, you know, I am sinning. And I need somebody because I can't get out of this.
Yeah, it's kind of like the blind leading the blind.
Yeah. Were you going to say something, Miles? I don't know if I... Okay, sorry. So a lot of these things, yeah, just that list is kind of an interesting list. And what it means, those words are a lot more powerful than I think when you just go through the list. I mean, these are like powerfully wicked things, not just kind of, I can kind of justify that one, or it's not that bad. Well, they're all bad, number one. But the Greek really pointed out, at least when I started to go through that list of just how bad those words and what they mean. So
I was watching this week the president gave out the 12 or 13 medals of freedom.
And
I was looking at the different people that were getting us, and they fit the moral code of what Joe Biden said.
Right.
But they're all guilty of something in this list.
Right.
Or two or three things.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
they're unrighteous.
It's moral relevancy. Yeah. It's my morals. Well, this is what's good. I'm going to tell you what's good, and I'm going to tell you what's bad. So, and it's, you're in my camp here, so I'm going to make it good.
I thinking about it here, like, you know, these are wicked, wicked things, and it describes the nature of the self life that we all have. You know, we haven't all expressed all of these things in the particulars, but we all have that same characteristic nature.
Yeah. I think about
the old, you know.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just gonna say that's the old man that the law could apply to, but because he's dead, you know, then the law doesn't apply to us.
Right, but you know, before believing, I was capable of all those things, and I say, you know, look, Hitler or you know whatever, I could be any one of those. I could be. I have the same nature as anyone, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer or, you know, all these people who are just, you know, horribly wicked. I have that same sin nature in me. I just didn't go to the extent that they did. And I'm fully capable of doing any of those in the old man or in the flesh, which is kind of a horrifying thought. that I'm capable of any and all of those things.
Yeah, it's kind of a horrifying thought that you have a whole room full of people who are saved who know that that's what their thoughts are and they're still friends.
That's grace.
Well, there were days, Mike, at the beginning with you. Now I know. it is kind of an interesting thing, you know, and like I said, just we are capable of any of those things. That list that could apply to any of us if given that the sin nature, you know, goes wild. Even in a believer, the sin nature is still resonant. We still have a sin nature. We can do any and all of these things still.
Yeah,
I'll tell you where you see.
Yeah, I just found out last night that, you know, a dear friend of mine, a relative from childhood, grew up in church together, loved the Lord. You know, we served a Christian camp together. She just came out as a lesbian. You know, it's quite possible. It's right there in the flesh, you know.
Sure.
Oh, we had, well, we have one of our daughter's friend went to, they're in college through the Christian fraternity, sorority and all that. And they've had a dinner club thing they go to. Well, he suddenly announced and then they just got married to two guys. You know, after going through all, you know, believers. And, you know, it's really a hard thing on that one, you know, and just a quick rabbit trail. How do you deal with that? And I think it's still in love. You still love to show God's love. And there's a interesting ministry, Calibrate Ministries, which we heard him when he was down here at Littleton, when we were Josh McDowell and all that. But He's got a really good way. I mean, you know, hate the sin, love the person. And it's that's a hard thing to do, you know, and you're blatantly seeing something that, you know, well, now, as I was saying, this word homosexual, it really is
sure
a
is.
Word in Greek.
Sure it is.
And so it's not like we're making this up or trying to adjust a word to make homosexual, you know, and it's, like I said, it's very hard thing to do. You still have to show love to them, and I think this Calibrate kind of shows. Well, Calibrate ministry shows.
It's interesting that the tent that covers us is sound doctrine.
which we'll get to in here. Yeah.
You know, and so whether you love a person or not, these things aren't part of who you are as a believer.
Right. No. Right. And you know, the others is, you know, if you continue in those, if you're a believer, that has, you know, it's a lot of times some of the wording and some of the addressing these things are in somebody who does it all the time.
That's why I put that word profane.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Which will, yeah. So we'll move on to that word in particular, question three in particular, how would you define a profane person? Any thoughts out there before I do my usual? What do I usually do?
Oh, yeah. You go to Webster.
I was just, the word that popped to mind was everyone. I don't know.
not wrong. So, of course, yes, I had to go to, I'm just curious, you know, because when we ask about definitions of words, I always say, my first thing is, well, what does Merriam-Webster have to say about this? Just to see if it's anywhere close to what the Greek says or what the Bible says about it. Strangely enough, it's very, very close. So, and I was really kind of surprised because that's what I was going to get, what profane means. If you had your own definition, what would profane be? Because I was surprised that what the dictionary actually had. So, I thought to myself, what is profane? I thought, you know, somebody who's kind of not religious, or no, it's, you know, it's somebody, I think, kind of bold, brash, and going against people or something. All right, we're getting it from two different directions here. So Merriam-Webster actually wasn't bad. I didn't think of it this way. Profane was, it, to me, wasn't as much not religious based, but more interaction related somehow, something like that. So Merriam-Webster, number one, not concerned with religion or religious purposes, secular. Second, not holy because unconsecrated, impure, and defiled, unsanctified. Three, serving to debase or defile what is holy, irreverent. That pretty much match what, yeah. I mean, it was very strange. I mean, and all of these words were in there, you know, secular, unsanctified, irreverent. Those were all in the online Merriam-Webster. I give credit to him. And then this is more kind of what I thought. I think obscene, vulgar, you know, is kind of what I thought. Not being among the initiated, not possessing esoteric or expert knowledge. That's kind of what I thought it was, kind of obscene and vulgar, that you profane person. But the first three were all pretty much what I think the Bible characterizes it, or the scripture does, secular, unsanctified, irreverent, which kind of was surprising to me. But the actual Greek word is babalos, and it's properly denoted one who either was or ought to have been debarred from the threshold or entrance of a temple. Lacks all relationship or affinity to God, are those who have zeal only for the secular and thus have no place for the spiritual. So, strangely enough, the Greek and the Merriam-Webster hit it pretty much head to head. So, it is that what you thought of? I thought mainly, like I said, when I looked at the obscene and vulgar, I thought it was more profane, but really all the first three were in keeping with the Greek word. So, did anybody else think of profane? That's what I was trying to get. Yeah, I think that, yeah, obscene, vulgar. That's kind of what it's, right. That's kind of what I thought it was. But it's not. And it's all related to being unholy. I don't know. I can't mute her. I don't know. Nick, can you, I think Cheryl's coming through.
When I found that, someone said a profane person is one who has made himself accessible to evil influences. And yeah, that struck me because talk about this person that just got married that you mentioned.
Yeah.
You don't get that way overnight.
No.
But you do allow yourself to be influenced by evil influences, or it's like I wonder why there's so many people that are so vehemently opposed to and defend the Palestinians. Well, they have allowed themselves to be influenced, evilly influenced, that all Jews are bad.
Right. And K through 12 into college, all of it. Yeah.
Like they're some sort of special evil race of people.
Right.
Or it's like just prejudice against black people or any of it. You were influenced that way and you allowed yourself to be that way.
Right. No, I think also, you know, the other is I think of with the James, how you get to ascend.
Yeah.
You turn away and you look. And it's a desire, a lust for, and then you the cascading effect down to where you get to.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much in it that's saying today, homosexuality, it's fine. It's glorified. You know, you can't watch, actually it's so hard to see commercials now. Almost every commercial has a lesbian or gay couple in it, almost.
Yeah.
You know, it's that subtle influence just all the day. Well, maybe that's okay. And then you start that James cascading effect down to, yeah, it's okay for me.
Well, and then you got a guy like the governor of Colorado, and I mean,
yeah,
he seems to be normal.
Yeah,
he's anything but normal.
Yeah, exactly. Mike,
people just become blind because the government allows it.
Well, the government promotes it or allows it, either one.
And people are blind.
Yeah. You know, it's like all the transgender stuff. I mean, mutilating kids and doing that now. And we suddenly say that's okay. And it's also the, you know, frog in the pot syndrome. You know, that's what I think more than anything. It's incrementalism.
Hey, I've been a frog in the pot.
but I think that's where we get to it. You don't see it right off the bat. They don't just come out this week and say we can kill babies. You know, it's like, it's a progression. And a slow progression now that, you know, really, it's okay abortion. Well, if it's the, you know, incest or something, you know, it's whatever. Well, what, you know, we suddenly are okay. And now it's okay for, you know, if you're in a bad situation or economics. Now, and it just creeps out to now you can have it if you
and
want.
Then it becomes women's health.
Yeah, women's health, or you can just do it anytime. But it's that incrementalism. Your mic? Do you have the mic on?
Mine is.
No, Donna was.
My thought was that it seems like there needs to be some caution there, though, that we don't catalyze the sins as these are bad ones and that
their
influence shouldn't be there. I think inherently, in and of ourselves, in our sin nature, we possess all of those things and don't need really any influences. It's the word of God that...
I think I'll balance that against the James progression, is that if it's out there and allowed, it inflames the sin nature to go after.
For a believer.
Yeah, well,
if you're not a believer, you don't have that choice.
Right, you're just going to do it. Yeah, and I think you missed the beginning of it with all these words. Yeah, we're capable of all those. I went through all the different things, and it's like, yeah, we're capable. We, our sin nature, is capable of any and all of those. You know, so yes, that's it. I think for the believer, you know, with this guy, the American knows, you know, it started with something, and then it's again the James progression. It became a desire, it became this, and it led down the stair steps to where he's at. And so, yeah, it's just again, the law, we're talking about the law and sound doctrine, and law is, you know, meant for these people, but it's to point it out that it's wrong. And then you go against sound doctrine. Sound doctrine tells you what is right. So
well, the other example in our society that is marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the scripture's very clear about keeping a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, if I hang around with people that, you know, smoke or drink too much,
mm-hmm.
Pretty soon that influences and sin loves company.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
But then you get into pharmaceutical.
Sure.
Anything that takes over your body, basically.
So do you trust the Lord with the doctor and his prescriptions?
Sure. Or,
you know, a guy has to go through these things.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be wise in all of it. You know, it's not that you can't have a drink. You're just not supposed to get drunk.
Yeah.
You know, you don't go to a doctor just to get OxyContin because you need a fix.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the guys who, when it started out with marijuana, when it was only medical. Oh, my back hurts. Okay, here you go. You know, so yeah, there was a lot of that going on. So, any others? We only, yikes, we're timing right. Only
you're over.
Yeah.
We have to justify everything to do it. You know, to believe something or to follow something, we always have to justify it.
Expand on that, I guess.
To get everyone to believe that this is true and that's right and proper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the abortion issue, for example, it didn't just start out as one thing. Okay, this is the way it's got to be. No, we had to progressively justify everything along the stages to where now this is where it is.
And that's what I say. It's incrementalism. You started somewhere. And it's that little, again, what we, you know, ultimately we call it faith. You have to have faith. Faith in either scripture and the word, sound doctrine, or you're going faith in the world. Not a good place to be, but that's where it starts. And in James, I keep alluding that once you take your eyes off and you have a desire somewhere else, then it starts it can be slow, it can be fast progression to where you get into these behaviors or to where abortion is 100,000, 500,000 a year, you know, or 1 million a year. So it didn't start at 500,000 the first year. This was a long, you know, it's like all these different things, you know, all the different drugs, all the different everything that we go through. It's a very slow process. You know, I think the flesh is willing to go the long game to get there. So any other final comments before? So we'll start with question 4 next week. Any other final comments, thoughts? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Again, as we contemplate these things, it is somewhat of a daunting or overwhelming thought that dwelling within us are our sinful flesh, that we're capable of any and all of these things that we just listed. And it's only as we go to the cross and realize our death to self that we can overcome these through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's only through understanding by faith your sound word that we are co-crucified with you. You have dealt with all our sins. You've paid for them. Now we have life in Christ. And we either choose to walk in the Spirit or succumb to the desires of the flesh. And we just pray that we remain focused on sound doctrine, your word, faith in what is true of us individually in you. And again, we just thank you again for the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which convinces us and convicts us of these things. And again, keeps us focused on your Son, the Lord Jesus, and you, Father. And we just thank you again for this time. And again, we just pray we'll honor and glorify you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.